even Christians think it's going to work. It's not going to work that way. There won't be a single person in heaven who thought that their works had anything to do with them getting there. Because if you think your works have anything to do with you getting there, you're not saved. The whole purpose of salvation is for you to admit you can't do it. And you receive Jesus Christ. So there's four woes to the scribes and lawyers. It starts with that first one they shared with the Pharisees. They were hypocritical. I want to mention this. Actually, I think Rick brought this question up last week. And I had a couple of people ask me about it during the week and told them I'd just cover it this week because we're going to start with that verse. The Talmud is not Scripture. And we started in our current events update just to clarify this. We do not support anybody rejecting Jesus Christ, including Jews. They have a Talmud that is filled with horrible blasphemies about Jesus Christ. And what you call Orthodox Jews today, they're not Torah Jews. And people have that wrong impression. They are Talmudists. And they are just like the Pharisees in the Bible. They are very strict about Talmudic law. They can't be Mosaic Torah followers because they don't have a temple. They don't have a priesthood. They can't obey the Torah. It's not in effect. So they made up another version of Judaism. It's a pseudo version of Judaism out of the Talmud. And the Talmud taught that those of the priestly class, known as the Kohen class, they have the Kohen name, most of them, that as far as I understand it, they were to avoid graves and cemeteries or be defiled. Now, the Bible taught no such thing. What the Bible taught, and this is what they always do, they take something the Bible taught and they turn it into something completely unrecognizable. Like the last study we talked about, or a previous study about the hand washing stuff. It wasn't that they didn't believe in washing your hands so you didn't have dirt and stuff on them, but they had this whole ritual thing going on, and Jesus was like, on that. So that's why they were upset with him. But Numbers 19:11 says, "He that toucheth the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days." Well, these holier-than-thous extrapolated that and said, well, the dead body touched the sepulcher, and so, or is in a grave if they were just buried in rocks piled on them, whatever the case may be. Therefore, if you touch that, you're defiled. And the sepulcher and the rocks, they're touching the ground. You're on the grounds. You're defiled. And it went on and on, and they had these cemeteries and graves so that you could walk around them and not be defiled, but if you step foot in one, you were defiled. The Bible never says that. That's all Talmudic nonsense. But by the time Jesus came, they were following these same traditions, and that's what Jesus was dealing with. The Pharisees took it to extremes, so that touching anything touched by a dead body would make you unclean. So, it was a double whammy. I mean, to a Pharisee or a scribe or a lawyer, a lot of them were Pharisees, by the way, just stepping foot in a cemetery was unclean. Well, Jesus says not only that, he's saying you're the grave. Talk about a slap in the face. And they also understood, if you're calling me a grave, what's inside? See? So you understand, really it's a vicious thing that Jesus is saying here. And I know that's not the Jesus that we all like to think of these days, but that's the Bible one. He can be real. I mean, he can be hard. Doug said it last week. Go meditate on Matthew 23 and see what you got. What I want is the real Jesus. Amen. I love Jesus, but not the flippy, effeminate version. I like the Bible version. Amen. Therefore, comparing them to graves was a major smackdown. And the scribes be like, verse 45. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. See, some of these guys are scribes and lawyers, not necessarily Pharisees. So they're like, yeah, look, he's tearing them up. And then all of a sudden he says this about them. They're like, whoa, dude. This is hitting close to home here. What's your problem? You know, well, Jesus is just getting started. He's just getting started. I'd show you that. So, you have four woes given to the scribes and lawyers. The first is that they're hypocritical. Now look at the second one. It says in verse 46, he's going to basically tell them they're abusive, among other terms you could use for this. Look at verse 46. And he said, "Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touched not the burdens with one of your fingers." If you've studied cults and religions, you'll know that most legalists and cult leaders exempt themselves from the rules. I mean, they'll have you jumping through hoops and following this rule and that rule, and for some reason, they don't have to follow it. It's not just these American, we use all kinds of references or examples, but you know, these Indian gurus. Most of the gurus would teach you to, you know, meditate and become one with the universe, and you no longer need things, you no longer need material goods or sex or money or anything. Let me take that from you. I'll take that off your hands. And they do, and they drive around in limousines and live in immaculate housing and having sex with men and women, most of them. I mean, just a sexual perversion. But they teach everybody else that you should be better than that. And you know what they'll say? They've been confronted. You know what they say? They say, "Yes, I do partake in that. It's because it doesn't mean anything to me. It's nothing to me, so it's not a big deal that I do it." And their followers are like, "Oh, that makes sense." Yeah, Rick.
We've had a lot of that with COVID rules. People led people to enact the rules and then break them themselves.
That's right. That same mentality. It's all about the power. Amen, Doug? Yeah. And let me just say this. It can even be someone who otherwise you would think is a true preacher. Robbie Zacharias is a recent example. And what I tell them is, they're not Jesus. If you put a man, including me, do not put me on a pedestal. I tell you all the time, I don't want that responsibility. I'm a pastor who loves my people here, loves Christians. I want to teach the Bible. But as far as spirituality goes, you have access to the same Spirit, the same book, and there's no difference. I am no better than anybody. And if you put any preacher above the rest of the body of Christ, there's only one head. And he walked on water. He healed the lame, made the blind to see. He was crucified and shed his blood for our sins, was buried and rose again. Only Jesus should be put on any pedestal in the Church of Jesus Christ. That way, I don't plan on falling. But that way, if someone like me does fall, if you got your faith in the right person, then other people falling won't result in you falling. But how many of you have known people, when some big-timer falls, they give up? Well, they had their faith in the wrong thing in the first place. Most legalists and cult leaders exempt themselves from their own rules. That's a fact. And that's what these guys are doing. They're abusive is what it is. They're abusive. They're abusing their power. He also says that they're murderous. Look at verses 47, 48. "Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them." And you see a similar thing even among evangelicals. A lot of today's evangelical big timers will quote people that if they had lived in that day, that guy would have been rebuking them. It's the same thing. It's amazing to watch. Verse 48 says, "Truly ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres." I mean, it's just an amazing. They and their fathers murdered God's people. And then they built sepulchres to celebrate them, even though it is their own people, their fathers, that they are walking in their footsteps, are one that killed them. We're going to return to verses 49 through 51 next week. We're going to deal with the martyrs next week. But all false religions turn to murder and oppression.
Yeah.
All of them do. And I think my next slide, yeah, this explains why. Earthly kingdom builders are bloody killers. When a religion decides they want to build their own kingdom on earth, and a lot of them even try to become involved in controlling governments and things, every time it's been a disaster. Even the Anabaptists, for example, They are very, almost pacifist in a lot of cases. Some are pacifists. Even they, when they had a leader start a sect in Munster, they then established a city-state and said, this is going to be like a paradise on earth. We're going to run it the way we see fit. But God never told us to do that. God never said for us to go buy a plot of land, you know, in Guyana or any place else and set up our own little kingdom on this earth. And every time, what happened in Guyana? Jim Jones. Yeah. What happened in Munster 500 years ago? They started having polygamy among the leaders and abuse of power. And the next thing you know, a bunch of people die. And they're killing people who rebel against their rules and all that. Happens every time. And see, I want you to understand what most of what you call evangelicals are basically Baptistic in their doctrine. People don't like that name because there's churches and denominations that use that name and we don't identify with them. But to be a Baptist just meant at one time, that was what the enemy called you if you were a Bible believer. If you were a Bible believer and you didn't have that kind of control system and everything, they called you a Baptist. It was an insult. But all it meant was that you believed in soul conscious and freedom. You could believe what you wanted to believe. And if you believed like us, come and join us. If not, you can go somewhere else. You're free to do so. State church systems and everything, they were totally opposed to. And if you read the Founding Fathers, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and others, they talked about how they based our system of freedom of religion on the Baptist ideas. And that's why. Yeah, just... That was part of it, because the state had a system where when you were born, you were to be sprinkled as a baby, and that made you a citizen. And the Baptist says, you know, we don't believe in that. We believe adult faith. You have to know what you're doing and believe the gospel first and be saved. So they were against infant baptism. But that was part of the whole thing. It's all about the church-state setup.
Was it that they were baptizing again?
Yeah, rebaptizers, they called them too. And finally, the fourth woe. They were heretical and apostate. Jump down to verse 52. Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. You see, these guys would keep you from believing your Bible. And they told you, you have to follow us because we know all the rules and we know all the regulations and we can keep you in line. Yeah. Hey, that's what you get at most churches today. Exactly. The Hebrew says, the Greek says, and you're a bunch of ignoramuses. I know Hebrew and Greek, therefore you need me to tell you what the Bible says. That's what most ministers today do to their people. That's to keep you hooked. I want you hooked to the Bible. Don't get hooked on Greg. That's no better than being hooked on any other drug or whatever. It's not going to take you anywhere. Get hooked on the Bible. Amen? Amen. But see, these guys were getting in between people and their Bible. And they worked to destroy the faith of others. Just it's like it was when Christ's first coming. We're seeing it set up for His second coming. There was basically an international trade language. It was Greek. Koine Greek. Today, the international trade language is English. We have people like Jenny who, that's their whole job. They're teaching, in her case, Chinese kids. They're teaching other people English. Why? Because that's become the global trade language. Just like when Jesus came the first time. And just like He came the first time, the religious leaders came between people and God. And that's what they're doing today in the pulpits of America and around the world. And they're trying to destroy the faith of the people in the Word of God. It describes today's apostate pastors and seminary professors. Exactly. You pay $100,000 to go off to a seminary so they can destroy your faith. This is an example of one of these guys. He's made himself more open and public about it. His name's Bart Ehrman. And CNN did an article on him. And their first line was, just so you know, Bart Ehrman says he's not the Antichrist. But he's publishing numerous books to try to convince people that the Bible is not the Word of God and that you can't really trust it. And most of what's in it isn't even true. This is from the article. It says his claims, though, take on some of Christianity's most sacred tenets, like the resurrection of Jesus. Ehrman says he doesn't think the resurrection took place. There's no proof of Jesus physically rose from the dead, and the resurrection stories contradict one another, he says. Now, you can watch him debate people like William Lane Craig, where they present the evidence. You can read books like the one we have over here, the historical evidence for the resurrection. There's smaller books like More Than a Carpenter by Josh McDowell. There's all kinds of books and videos out there presenting the case in favor of the historical evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. But this guy's got to make a living, huh?
Yeah.
He says, I change my mind. My students find me more dangerous that way. I really do know what they're talking about when they stake out an evangelical position. See, he started in Moody Bible Institute in Wheaton. Then he went to Princeton. And Princeton destroys the Bible in their seminaries. And they turn out a bunch of apostates who then fill pulpits in America. That's what's going on. And that's exactly who Jesus is dealing with here, the same type of person. They spend their lives trying to pull you away from God's Word rather than trying to tell you what I'm going to tell you right now. This is the only infallible book in English on the planet. And I mean King James Bible. I don't mean those watered down baby Bibles. I mean this book right here. And if you will put your faith in this book and you will read it, you will study it, you will learn it, you will trust what it says in context, you will not only go to heaven, but in between now and then, you will walk in wisdom and you will have a much better life than you otherwise would have. And it's not about a church, it's not about a pastor, it's about this book. By the help of God's Spirit, once you're born again, you're on your way with that book. Amen? So beware of becoming one of these that we've talked about these last 2 weeks. Beware of in any way giving the same type of influence and appearance in the world. And beware of falling prey to one. You go out there and just listen to what's on the radio and TV or what's on YouTube or the internet. You just start, you know, listen to everything. You better be very discerning because I've watched it one after the other trip people up and put them into shipwreck. So beware. And that's where we'll pick up next time. Like I said, we're going to cover those verses talking about the martyrs.
Lean on the everlasting arms.